Praise the Lord, God is good. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together and start praise and worship this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your presence here this morning. We worship your name. Father, we believe that you are good. We believe that you are faithful. Thank you, Lord, for this month of victory, God. We say yes and amen to that word, Lord. Thank you. praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, he's good. We praise your name. Oh, God, your praise. Lord, you're good. Oh, we worship you, Lord, this morning. We sing, Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Oh, Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Sing it, Lord. Oh, Lord, you are good and your mercy endures Hallelujah. He is good. Praise the Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to play it again. Praise you, Lord. Together.
Of days, reign. You are God, Elohim, Ancient of Days. Have your way in our lives. Have your way in our land. Have your way, O God, in all the earth. Lord, without you, we are nothing. When you do not lead us, O God, we walk into walls. We stumble and we fall. But your grace, O God, upholds us. And so, Lord, we cry out to you, God. Without you, we are helpless. Without you, we are unfruitful. Without you, God, our lives have no meaning. You are the Ancient One. You are the one who lives forever. You know our past better than we do. You know the present better than we do. You know the future better than we do. There is not a season in our lives that you are not aware of. There's no time that you are not present. So we ask, Father, that you do exceedingly beyond that we dare ask or think. Work a work of God in our lives in this day, a work of God so dramatic, extraordinary, that's even hard for us to believe, because, Lord, oh God, it's just over the top. Father, this day, we thank you for the victory that we have. It's all in you. We thank you, Lord, for the turnaround. We thank you, Lord, oh God, for the acceleration, oh God, of the great things you have in store for us. We say yes to your word, yes to your will, yes to your purposes. Your kingdom, Father, let it come. Your will, O God, on the earth be done as it is in heaven. Be magnified, O glorious one. Be magnified, O hallowed one. Thank you, Father, that this day we have our daily bread. All sins, all transgressions, all trespasses forgiven. For we forgive those who trespass against us. We thank you, Lord, that you're leading us not into destruction, but to victory. For all is for thy glory, thy honor, thy praise, the true worship and adoration that is due you. Blessed be your holy name, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. God, Elohim, Ancient of Days, reign, reign. Hallelujah, there is none like you, Lord. None in the heavens, none in the earth. Thank you, Father. There is none like you, Lord, Ancient of Days, Lord, reign. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you love the Lord? Then give a great shout unto the Lord in this house. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Thank you so very much, worship team.
God, may you continue to reign in our lives. Let it not just be words, but be a reality. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we welcome you. We thank you that you are God. You reign over all situations. You are not weak. You are not feeble. You are not forgetful. You are all God, and nobody made you God, you made yourself. Father, we bless your holy name. You are our Abba this morning. You woke us up this morning, and we have another day to say thank you, Lord. We have another day to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for life. Thank you for giving us life. You have put life and death before us, you say choose. We choose life. And in this life, we bless your holy name. Thank you that everything is functioning and working perfectly well in our lives because the Lord reigns over us. Father, we bless you as you sit on your throne, Lord Jesus. We magnify the living God. Can you bless him with your own lips? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we sang that song this morning, Ancient of Days, that reign. May he truly be the ancient one, the invisible God that decided to come be with us. Become our Emmanuel. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless your holy name. Emmanuel, God is with us. You are with me this morning, and you are with anyone who will call upon your name. Can you call his name? Anyone who call him, he'll be with them. Father, we bless you. Can you say, reign in my heart, reign in my life, reign in my mind, reign in my spirit, reign in my soul, reign in my body, reign in my family, reign in my business, reign in my ministry, reign in my city, reign in my nation. He reigns. He reigns whether you say it or not. He reigns forevermore. But by you saying it, you are saying it so he can reign where you are. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord reigns in my going out and in my coming in. From this time forth and forevermore, He reigns forevermore. No matter what is happening, You reign. You reign in beauty and holiness. You reign in majesty. You reign in power. You reign in goodness. You reign in healing. You reign in salvation. You reign in every realm. Father, have Your way. Whatever is going on with Your children today, in this house, in our city, in our nation, nations around the world, You reign. You are not blind, You see. You are not deaf, You hear. And Lord, we ask for Your rulership and Your sovereignty and Your government, which is the body of Christ. You have put Your government upon the shoulder, the body of Christ, as we, the body, declare and decree, the Lord reigns, 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 the Lord reigns in all dimensions. You need to declare that. Let Him reign in your neighborhood, reign in your house. There are certain things going on behind closed doors that are not giving. Let the Lord reign there now. There are certain things going on in your neighborhood. There are people practicing demonic activities around you. Let the Lord reign. Use your mouth. I don't know whether you want somebody to use their mouth for you. Declare and decree. Reign over your school. Over your children's school. Over things. There are things right now that are shaping the minds of your children to bend them away from God. You must begin to speak the Lord reign. So that those things that they don't need to have are filtered away. And Lord, we reign over your marriages, over your sons and your daughters, every one of us, over extended families. There are family members that are not rising. They need to rise. Say, the Lord reigns. 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 You reign in this house. Hallelujah. And You reign in my life. Sickness and disease, He reigns over them. So your body parts, the Lord reigns over them. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. If He reigns, the other stuff cannot be there that do not belong. Only what He approved. Hallelujah. The Lord reigns. You reign over only what You have approved. And the things You have not approved, they move. 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 In the name of Jesus. Even our environment, our breath, the air we breathe can be filtered just for You. Might not be filtered for others, but it's filtered for me. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. You reign over everyone, over our household. He reigns over your today and your tomorrow. The Lord reigns over my today and my tomorrow. Lord, we give you all the glory. All we're saying this morning is have your way. Have your way. Not our will, but yours be done. And let your name be magnified. Your spirit is already here. Spirit of the living God. Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of knowledge. Spirit of understanding. Spirit of counsel. Spirit of might. Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And all your spirit, which is your holy word, they rest heavily upon us, upon this church, this ministry, your people, our homes, family, nation, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Because of that, we know everyone from 820 plus to zero seed form, they are all touched by you. And you reign. You reign over the Christian education of this church and the children and this ministry. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glorious God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. All right, turn your Bible. We're going to read the word of the Lord. The scripture to read this morning is like, it's a little bit not like the one you were going to keep on shouting hallelujah, but you need to know it, and you need to make sure this is not where you are at. Remember, the Lord reigns over my life and your life. Does he reign over yours? Say amen. All right, turn to Job 3. Job chapter 3. You can start, you have to catch up. I'm going to start reading. Read verse, starting from verse 1. And after this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. May you not open your mouth and curse your own life. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. And purge me from filthiness that has come from my mouth to curse my life, to curse my own being. Say amen. So if you're having a bad day, don't curse yourself. Verse 2. And Job spake and said, this is such a serious thing. He cursed his day. Your day means all your life. It's not just 24 hours. Bible says all the days of your life. So the day of your life, that's your span. Now, when we curse, sometimes when we start complaining about things that we shouldn't be complaining about, we are manifesting things for our lives. So let us ask God now, before I continue reading, stand with me. And if you have ever complained, you have ever spoken anything rubbish to yourself because you're having difficulties, to your family, to your friends, let's ask God now to purge and cleanse us. So, Heavenly Father, purge us, cleanse us from every curse that has come out of our mouth towards ourselves, towards our family, towards the things you have given to us. We ask now, forgive us, have mercy on us, purify us. Blot it all away. in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, you can be seated. So let's read the rest. Verse 2, read out. And Joel spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said. So these are the things he was saying. There is a man child conceived, so he cursed from his root up. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. All because he lost his children and property. Can you say that's a really terrible thing to happen to anyone? Yes. In the natural, yes, he has the day to say, he's saying that he also wants to, so he's cursing himself so he can die quickly with them. We have already repented, so this does not affect us. So now we're going to read it so that we'll never do it again. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he's inviting pure darkness. Say, neither let the light shine what? Upon it. Verse 5. Are you reading? Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Some of you are not reading. Because you think when you read this, this is what's going to happen to you. It is the word of the Lord. Faith comes by what? That means you never read this. If you are not even reading, and that means this part has been rusting your Bible. Let's clean out the dust and let the light shine. You must know what God likes and what he doesn't. You must know what he wants you to do and what you don't know, what you must not do to have victory. So if you are just saying only the one bless me once, then you are going to fail in life. I've always tell you, don't use material thing to judge your Christianity. There are people who are not saved that have more material things and money than you. They are called billionaires. There are some even going towards trillionaires, and they don't know God. So don't use that to judge your Christian. What you use is the word of God and where you stand in it. If that is really real in your life or not. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. My goodness. He is just making the devil so happy. The devil said, you speaking my language? Here I come. Verse 6. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Let me give you a revelation here. So by speaking these things, that means you can be just normal. You did not get to that level, but somebody can reverse your destiny back to rubbish. But you can do it faster by yourself. May God set us free. Say amen. Say amen. These are not things God designed for him. These are the things he's prophesying over his own life. Verse 7, lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful noise, joyful voice come therein. So the day he was born, everybody rejoiced. Now he's reversing everything and saying, I'm starting all over in pure darkness. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. Verse 8, let them curse it that curse the day, who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark, and let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day. When have you said things, a little thing that is against your own life, that now it is spinning out of control in dark realm? From one thought in his mind, we now have so many. Verse 10, because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from my eyes. My. He wished he was never born. May God have mercy on us. There are some people, they are not content with the family they are born through. They go, I wish I was born from that family. I wish I was born from... It's the same thing you're doing. The God who chose that family for you knows that's where your victory is going to come from. There might be dark days and dark problems, but you're going to rise from that ashes. Say amen. You are not born in the wrong place. You are not born in the wrong nation. God sent you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He knew you and put a destiny, complete one, inside you. So you are in the right place. You're born in the right family. All you need to do now is keep eating the word of God so it can bring that authentic destiny out of your life. Say amen. Say amen. Amen. Verse 11. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why the breast? So somebody was praying. He saw it. He seen his life. So his mother was praying. He said, why did the knees? Somebody was on their knees praying. God bless my baby. Your prayers will never be in vain. When you pray, God answers. Your prayer will prevent a lot of things. Why did the knees prevent me? May you pray over every situation you face, that it will prevent darkness from taking over. Say amen. Or why did the breast that I should suck? A mother's breast and its milk is not an ordinary thing. It's life. These are the things that prevented Job from completely swallowed by his own darkness. For now should I have lain still and be quiet? He told you two secrets there. Prayer and the nourishing that the mother. So when you are a praying mother and you nourish your child, anointing is flowing into your child. Hallelujah. For now should I have lain still and been quiet? I should have slept. That means he said he should have died. Then had I been at rest with kings and counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves. He's talking about mausoleums. That's where they should lay him there. Or with princes. Now he was wealthy enough to be placed in those places. Hallelujah. Job was so wealthy that he doesn't walk on regular ground. He walk. His pathway is laid with anointing, with butter. Hallelujah. Other people are walking on dust. He's walking on special paved. As he walk, anointing is just flowing him. Visibly there. Hallelujah. All this was going on in his life, and it's reversing all of them. May your problem not cause you to reverse nothing. Somebody say, I repent. Lord, have mercy on me. Somebody say, my life is very good. Yes, God designed it for you. All right, let's continue. 15. Or with princes that had gold, who filled their houses with silver. So some people are looking for two silver to rub together. Some have them filled. Somebody say, I receive the goodness of God. It's better you receive the goodness of God. Because some silver and some gold will choke you. But if it's from the goodness of God, it will lift you. Say amen. Or as an hidden or timely birth, I had not been. As infants which never saw light. Lord, have mercy on me. You better be saying, Lord, have mercy on me. God is giving us a window into a man that he put his hand upon, and this is happening. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. He's talking about the dead. That's where he wants to be. May you be among the living. The small and great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Whether you're a master or servant, all of you are sleeping. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul. There are many people whose life are like this right now. You know, if you are in a war torn zone, you are wondering why all this. So we're not speaking language that is not real. God, the master of everything, knows everything before they happen, and he gives you a way out. Say amen. Some people have lost their job, their career, their business they've built for years, or generational businesses that are gone because of COVID and all kinds of things. They are bitter in soul. They're saying, am I the one who dropped this bucket? Or ministry? Or family? Or whatever? May your language change as you're hearing the sound of my voice. To the Lord reigns. Say amen. 21, which long for death, but is cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures. Wow, every day hunting and praying. But somebody, it's too late, because somebody was on their knee, they prayed. And they fed with the milk of heaven. Hallelujah. Which rejoiceth exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. Which is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God had hedged in. I heard some people, their spouse died, and they say, oh, I wish they were gone with them too. You know, you make statements like that. But your days are in the hands of the Lord until you are satisfied. You know you are not satisfied, but you are putting up all those show. May you be free today. In the name of Jesus. Hannah was a widow from a very young age. She did not speak this language. Anna, that prayed the coming of the Lord, that the Savior would be born. For over 80 years, she did not use this language because she was a praying woman. May God have mercy on us and help us in our difficult times. Did I read 23? Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God had hedged in? Look at that. Look at that. This is what God has done for us. God has given us light and has hedged us in. You are under protection, under cover. He doesn't like this because he's in pain. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God had hedged in? Say, Lord, have mercy on me. And help me. I'm already praying. When I finish, I'm going to say in Jesus' name and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we're done. Say amen. Your life is hid in God, and you are hedged in. You have light. You don't have darkness. God has given me victory. What month is this again? Month of victory. God is saying, so he's aware of this victory, but he doesn't want it anymore. Say, Lord, I want it. I want you to hide me and hedge me in. Say amen. For my sign cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. When we say shout hallelujah, no, he's shouting all this darkness saying. He wasn't shouting hallelujah anymore. Yet in his heart, he still loves God. Oh, Father, because Bible says he was a righteous man. So you mean you can still be righteous and live in pure darkness from your mouth? So put your hand on your mouth and say, Lord, set this my mouth free today. Cleanse it with your coals of fire. Purify my mouth from every filth. In Jesus' name, say amen. Verse 25, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. He's coming to realization. 26, I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. So trouble can come anytime. May every one of us be free. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare peace over our lives and peace over Jerusalem, peace within our walls and our palaces. Remember your everlasting covenant to our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We receive all of them for every one of us, families, leaders, nations, ministry, and this house of glory. In Jesus' mighty name, let your word come now with power, grace, favor, mercy, truth, healing, deliverance. As we have read your word this morning, let our lives be transformed. Every weakness of our mouth is removed. Strength has come that we will declare the decrees of the Lord. No matter how troubled we feel, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Praise the Lord. When you read a passage like that, you know that the Word of God is inspired. You say, why would you say something like that? Because you only want to say the right things about yourself. You don't want to expose all of those vulnerable aspects. When God calls us to victory, he calls us to that. But there's a lot that you and I can do to contribute to that victorious life. You can live your life in the blessing, or you can live your life cursed. The passage Mama read to us is a passage that is so straight up, because it makes very clear to us that when we let our emotions take reign, we can say the most dubious, crazy, bit stuff. You must never let your circumstance dictate your life. If there's anything for us to learn from Job, let's learn that. Don't let what's happening in your life right now, good, bad, or ugly, determine your life. Your life source is in God. Amen? Your life source is in God. What he says is final. We sang that song this morning. Who has the final say? Do you think that the God that loved you so much gave his only begotten son? That he will leave you hopeless? But if that's what you speak out of your mouth, I'm done, then with that hardened heart, you get stuck where you say you are. God wants you and I to live a life of victory. Amen? That's all God has for you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And you know what? Job ends up in that place. He experienced the mercy of God. Hallelujah. God was busy boasting about Job. One of the reasons why Job was in the mess he was in, he tells us in that chapter. He says, the thing that I feared has now come upon me. I was afraid of this. So while he's living in faith, while he's been blessed, he was afraid. God had built a hedge around him. And with his mouth, prior to all of the declarations right there in that chapter, this was a key factor. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. And that which I was afraid of is come unto me. It's like, my life is too good to be true. Maybe something bad is going to happen. And finally, something bad happened. And you know what? It was the act of God's love that did that. It was God who said to Satan, have you checked Job out? He's such an amazing guy. Oh, it's because you've blessed him. It's because you've blessed him. And if you don't understand the scriptures and you think God brought problems to Job. No, God was protecting Job. So how can you say that? Well, if the devil found out that the hedge was broken, the devil will go in and wipe Job out completely. So God had to expose it so that he could put a caveat and say, you can mess with him, but you cannot kill him. Amen? You cannot kill him. If God had not done that, Job will be done. We will not read the rest of the story. So, you say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying, don't let God expose you because your mouth is busy yapping off. You get pain. You get out of it, but with your mouth, you will get what you deserve. Thank God, Mama led us to say, Lord, have mercy. Amen? So say it with me. Lord, have mercy on my soul. Forgive me for all that nonsense talk that have been coming out of my mouth. Erase it all. Eradicate it. And cause only the beautiful things that glorify you to come out of my mouth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You know, when the government puts out documents, they redact some stuff. They just block out some stuff. We are saying, God, block out all of those things that are not good, so that all that is left is all good. Amen. Did you receive that? Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord has declared this month, March, our month of victory. Praise God. And you heard me say, when we talked about victory, we said, when you talk about victory, you're talking also about challenges. That things happen that should not be happening. But you are victorious in spite of it. Praise the Lord. You and I determine by our confessions what we want to see happen in our lives. Don't spend your time talking about what is. Paul says, this one thing I do. I don't even spend my time focusing on the good, the bad, and the ugly. There is a higher mark. I'm pursuing after that. Yeah? When you're talking about victory, and when you pray, please hear this. God is not, how many of you know God knows your problems already? Before you even came across them, he knows about it. You believe that? So is it information that you're giving to him when you're praying, telling him about the problem?
No.
Like, God, you don't know. So let me inform you, majestic, wonderful, awesome, ancient of days, let me inform you about what is happening in Winnipeg. That's exactly what you're doing. No, no. God wants you to tell him what you want to see happen. He wants you to prophesy the answer that you're looking for. You pray the answer, not the problem. Come on. With thanksgiving. Praise God. That's what God wants you to do. Don't pray. We know the problem. You have the mind of Christ. Tell me what the mind of Christ says. What will Jesus do? He will say to the blind, see. Do you know he never prayed for any blind person or deaf person or any sick person? Say, oh Father, creator of the heavens and the earth, see this man, he's blind. Can we make him see, please? No, he just said, see. What do you want? He said, what do you want? I want to see. Okay, that's what you got. See. Go ahead, go home. Take up your bed and go home. It is the answer. Somebody say it's the answer that God wants to hear from me. God doesn't want you coming to him and telling him, oh Lord, I'm broke. The word of God says, let the weak say what?
I'm strong.
He said, I don't want to hear you telling me I'm weak. Tell me that you're strong. And what you say is what you get. Hallelujah. Wealth and riches are in the house of the righteous. So you come to God. You don't come to God and say, oh God, I'm such a bad person. I'm such a sinner. No, you come because God gave you the gift of righteousness. You say, God, I thank you for the gift of righteousness. I confess the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, that because I am righteous, wealth and riches are in my house. I declare a manifestation of your splendor and your glory in my life right now. And God says, that's what we're talking about. Praise the Lord. Most of our prayers are just nonsense. Really, it's just foolishness. And the worse it is, the better we pray it. It's just amazing how eloquent we can become when we're talking the problem. That's what Job was doing. He started out and says, I wish I was never born, and kept on repeating it, I wish I was never born. Every possible way he can say it. Because if I weren't born, I wouldn't have experienced this pain. But God had something greater on his mind. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In the book of Joshua, the 6th chapter. Have an understanding of this. That the only reason the enemy is after you is because of what he knows. Not altogether, but at least what he knows about you. That there is greatness in your life. The enemy doesn't come to steal, kill, and destroy if there's nothing to steal, if there's nothing to kill, if there's nothing to destroy. So when the enemy is coming after you, know that there is something that you've got. Hallelujah. And begin to thank God for all the blessings that he has in your life. And that which God has given to you, no man can take away from you. No demon has been. The word of God says, I created the destroyer in Isaiah 54. He says, I know what he does, and there is no weapon that has been formed, fashioned against you that can prosper, because I did not create it. And therefore, if anything comes against you, I am giving you the right to do something, condemn it. Hallelujah. No weapon that is formed against thee shall what? Prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, I will condemn. Is that what it says? No? Who does it? You, me, thou shalt condemn it. When God gives you his rights, he gives it to you, and it's for you to deal with it how you wish. The king Ahasuerus gave to Esther the house of Haman. Esther gave it to Mordecai because she had the right to give it away. It is hers. So also God has given you his word. He is not going to speak it for you. You speak that word. Hallelujah. That's why you meditate on the word of God, so that you can speak it. It says, this is the heritage, this is the heritage, the gifting, the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. God, who will do nothing except he first reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. He says, you've got an heritage as a servant, And if you are a servant of the Lord, then God wants you to prophesy. Hello? Did I lose you there? It is very clear, Amos 3:7. God will do nothing. Actually, let's look at that passage and come back to Isaiah 54. It says, surely, that's like Jesus saying, verily, verily, I say unto thou. Verily, surely the Lord God will do what? The Lord God will do something. Says nothing. Nada. He's not going to do anything. But he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. What do prophets do? They prophesy. They foretell and foretell. They do those two things. They send things into motion or tell of things that are about to happen. God reveals his secrets. Now, he does that to his servants. And Isaiah 54, 17 says to us that we, as servants of the Lord, have a heritage. And that heritage is to bring judgment or condemnation on every judgment that comes against you. Amen? He says, I give you the right to condemn it. This is your heritage as a servant of the Lord, and their righteousness, your righteousness, my ability to stand before God, to boldly declare his purposes, he says, it's of me, said the Lord. I am the one declaring you righteous. And if you believe what I say, then you believe also that my righteousness given to you is not equivalent to the judgment being passed on you. You get that? So when you believe the judgments of men rather than the declarations and the decrees of God, you put man above God. Now you have an idol. And all idols want is more and more and more from you without able the ability to do anything for you. Get it? Say, Pastor, you said go to the book of Joshua. What is this? I'm on track. Don't worry. So Joshua 6 says, now Jericho was straightly shut up. Jericho was locked up, tight. Nobody could come in, nobody could go out. Why? Because of the children of Israel. All that is happening in the world, please don't lose sight of this now. All that is happening in the world today, it's about the enemy trying to shut out the people of God. Why? Because the enemy of your soul is very afraid of you. While most believers think that they should be afraid, it says, no, 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 no. The enemy needs to be afraid of you. Why did they shut up Jericho? They were afraid of Israel. Why are they afraid of Israel? Because God had been doing miracles one after the other. They've been hearing it, and they were all scared. These are the same Jews who sent spies and said, there are giants in the land. Do you remember that? And we saw ourselves as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. So the way you see yourself is the way the enemy sees you. If you see yourself as a failure, that's what the enemy sees. If you see yourself as a victim, that's what the enemy sees. If you see yourself as a prey, that's what the enemy sees. If you see yourself as a victor, that's what he sees. And he's afraid. And what does he do when he's afraid? He shuts the doors. Jesus, our Lord, said, when you understand, okay, for some people this might be way over their head because they were not in church. When Jesus asked the disciples a question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Said, well, you say you Elijah, this, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. Then he said, but who do you say that I am? Said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Matthew 16. Thou art the Christ. And I shared with you the essence of that statement. That when he said, thou art the Christ, and Jesus, our Lord, said, on the basis, on the foundation of this particular truth, the knowing of this revelation, I will build my church. Yes? And the gates of hell will not prevail over the church. Now, that he was not just talking about the statement, thou art the Christ, as thou art the anointed, and that's all it meant. But that what that really meant in the deeper levels of the thought was this. The Christ came to save, came to serve. He was God's perfect servant. Are you with me? Okay. So when he made that statement, he was saying on the foundation of this principle truth, when you and I understand that I came to serve, I'm a servant. On that foundational truth, I am going to build my church. And the government, the gates of hell, shall not prevail over that church. Yeah? Okay. You got that truth settled? Okay, now let's go a little bit further. The gates of hell, the government of hell. If that door is shut and you don't go down there and kick it down, are you prevailing? Or is the gate prevailing? Obviously, the gate is prevailing because you didn't kick it down. That makes sense? So, how do we kick down the gates of hell? I've been giving you the answer all day long so far. How do we do it? Well, I know you're going to say, and it will be right, by the prophetic declaration. But who has that prophetic declaration? Who has the prophetic declaration? It's the servant. So if we are going to bring about change anywhere, somebody has to be serving, or else the gates remain there. And as long as those gates remain there and there is no sacrifice of service, Whatever is on the other side of that gate remains in bondage. Jesus, our Lord, came to make certain that he serves us by coming from glory and coming down here, humbling himself. Are you with me? Humbling himself to serve. And before he left to go to that cross, in John 13, the word of God says, Jesus, knowing who he was, knowing from whence he came and where he was going, rose up, put a towel on his waist, carried a basin of water, and began to wash the feet as a servant. He says, you don't know what I just did, but I just showed you the key. If you're going to be the leader, learn how to serve. You say, Pastor, I thought we were doing... We're still on track. Those gates were shut because of the Israelites. If we are going to break through as God's people and operate in victory, the first place we need to have settled is that particular area of service. Gates were shut. Nobody could come in, nobody could go out. And God shows up and says to Joshua, see it. I have given into thine hand Jericho. I've given you that city Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. They are all yours. It's done. When God said it was it done? But physically, was it done? But God said what he had already done. What was he doing? He was prophesying it. And when he did that, he was saying, I've already served you. If you lost that, come with me. We are praying right now. We have short words, long words, whatever. Do your words make God do anything, or does God respond to your words because he wants to serve you? If God decides, I'm not going to do anything, do you think you're going to talk him out of it? So the fact that God did anything was God serving you. Every time you pray, God is serving. Oh. Okay, let me put it this way. 6 days God created. He rested on the seventh because he was busy working. Amen? How did he work? He spoke. Yes? Okay. Man was created on the sixth day. So what did God do? On day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, and part of day six. He did and put in order everything for the man. Come on. By the very fact that he did all those things before he brought the man to it was service. 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 Someone says service. Even what we're doing right now, we call it service. Because it's all about service. The most successful businesses are service focused. Hello? You can have an amazing product, but if your service is not right, you're not going anywhere. That makes sense? I want you to understand the importance of service. If you go to a restaurant and the menu is wonderful and the food smells good, but the service is rotten, how often are you going to go back there? Service is important. Service is king. Everything ultimately is about service. Hallelujah. So, God says, I've given it to you. And ye shall compass the city. You're going to surround that city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. Amen? 6 days, I want you to do this. Now, what's that? That's God calling them to partner with him in what he has already done. This is how I want you to partner with me. I've already done it, but this is how you're going to connect with it. Get your guys together. Get the priests, 7 of them. Let them blow the shofar. Now, when you talk about the shofar, you've got to understand that the shofar, the ram's horn, meant that that ram had been sacrificed. Yes? It came out of sacrifice. He says, get 7 of them. 7 priests. Now, the 7 priests are going to blow that shofar. The ark is going to be behind them, and the military force in front. So you have the military force, the soldiers, the men of valor, then the priests, then the ark. And I want you to go around that city once every day. And on the 7th day, I want you to go around it 7 times. Remember that? So, how many times did they go across around that city? 7? 7 times? 13. Huh. Interesting. Interesting. They went around it 13 times. On that 7th day, they completed what they did for 6 days in 1 day plus 1. Hello? Are you with me so far? What is the point? The point is this, as a prophetic declaration, that what you and I have been working on all this while, we are in a short period of time going to accomplish all of that plus. Oh. I'm saying you are about to receive supernatural acceleration. Glory be to God. you're about to move at a speed that the enemy cannot understand. Because they've been used to you going around once every day. But all of a sudden, what you used to do once every day, the enemy is going. And when you get dizzy, you get to fall. Ah, come on, come on, come on, come on. Stay with me. You know, that's something we learned when we're young. You know, when there are no toys to play with, you know, you start spinning and spinning, and then you stop, and the next thing you bang. Hallelujah. There is a dizzy spell about to hit the devil and all his cohorts. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, yes. The doors may be shut, but there is a falling coming on. Because God doesn't need a door open. He is going to take the whole structure down. Glory be to God. When you look at your circumstance and you see how thick the walls of Jericho are, you do not know that that's what God is going to do. In fact, you know nothing. To assume that you know how God is going to do what God is going to do is outright foolishness. Because it is about you limiting God. God doesn't do it. The Lord opened a lot of blind eyes, but every time it's different. Because there's not one way of doing things. And that's a very good lesson to learn. Please come with me a moment. Understand that a lot of fights that we get ourselves entangled in are based on we thinking there's only one way to do whatever. So you fight with your wife, fight with your husband, fight with Johnny and Mary and whoever else because they didn't do it the way you think they should do it. This is the only way to do it. No, there are many ways. Hallelujah. If you want the thing done, let it get done. That's why God has not... Wouldn't it be if God just gave us a prayer book? Just read this. And then you'll get this answer. No, he gives us an open door, gives us principles, and then you pray whatever you want to pray, whichever way you want to pray it, as long as you pray it according to his will. Huh? Is that not true? So, you know, to think that God can only answer the prayer when you do this limits God. Hallelujah. Are you with me? When they were in the wilderness, he gave them manna and quail every day. The people got tired of it. They got into the place of the promise. Now that they are in the land of the promise, there was no same old, same old. When we are sons and daughters of the promise, God doesn't have a regimented way of doing what he's going to do. It changes. The door is shut. They think that's the way they're going to keep their city safe. And God says, you're going to go around this wall. And what is going to happen? I want everybody to keep their mouth shut. Hello? Why does he want their mouth shut? He doesn't want them complaining and griping and all of that. True. But he really wants your mouth shut because he is going to do a new thing. Hallelujah. He's going to do what? A new thing. This is not the old way. This is a new thing. And this new thing is going to be rock and roll. Not old system. I'm going to do a new thing. It's going to be a shocker. Do you receive it?
Yes.
Listen, God is saying victory, and I want you and I to set our minds in proper order, filled with expectancy, recognizing that the God that we serve is about to do a new thing, and old systems don't count now. Praise God. He's going to do a new thing. And if you want to stay stuck with the old, you're going to find out that even if you crossed over to the other side of the wilderness, that there's no manna and there's no quail there. People who get stuck in old ways find out that what used to work doesn't work anymore. Praise God. The devil is still the same devil. He will shut the doors. But God is going to say, I don't need no doors. Help me here. When Jesus came with his resurrected self, the doors were shut. Did he come through the door? You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying to you today, by the Spirit of the living God, don't be waiting for doors. God cares less about doors. He's going to do his thing. What he's going to do is you're going to appear where you need to appear. Bang! Where did he come from? Forget about that. Who opened the door? The door is still shut. How did he get here? We don't know, but he's here. You are going to arrive at destination point because of the grace of God upon your life. Set your face as a flint. God, by your anointing, I fulfill the mandate that you have for my life. I'm here to serve. And when you set yourself to serve, God will elevate you. Is somebody listening? The key to rising up is service. It's a message that the church has not heard much of. If you humble yourself, you get exalted. Praise the Lord. The Lord says, don't start grabbing for the high seat. I will locate you and bring you to the high seat, and everybody will see that you were moved from where you were to that place. Praise the Lord. Mom and I were at the opening of a particular church. The seating capacity of this particular church, and I think it still holds the number one place, is 100,000 plus people. We were supposed to go to Egypt. But we're given word to this man of God that we're going to come and be part of this opening. And we're going to come ahead of time. I think we were there maybe 2 days or 3 days ahead of time. The day before the opening, carpeting was not in place. Nothing, it looked like nothing was going to be accomplished to bring about the event that was going to happen in less than 24 hours. And the pastor, his wife, Mama, and I were there in the balcony looking at all of this, looking at all these chairs, looking at the carpet not in place, the people doing wiring and all kinds of stuff still going on. And I'm wondering, huh? How is this all going to get done? And all we could do was pray. The next day, we were there in church. And the place is, remember, this place seats 100,000 plus people. The carpets were down. The chairs were down. What happened? The people were busy serving. And the whole place was packed out. 100,000 plus people everywhere. My mom and I came in, and we're sitting. They brought us and they sat us in a decent place. And we're sitting maybe 3 rows back. And the man of God left where he was, walking with his entourage of men, came and said, and takes us and seats us right in the view of everybody. The phones blew up. Text messages are flying all over the place. Who are those two people? We don't know them. Who are those? When you get elevated, a lot of people are going to get surprised. They don't know what you've been doing behind the scenes serving. Huh? You're busy serving, and all of a sudden God elevates. God is the God that will elevate you because you serve Him. There was a woman Mama talked about her this morning called Anna. Anna was out there praying day and night for decades. There were priests, high priests, and whatever else, but whose name do we see in the story of Jesus? Anna. Whose name do we see? Simeon. They are people that served. Do you remember a man called Philip? Philip. You remember him? He was chosen to serve tables. It didn't look like an important job. But here's the apostle says, we can't do that. We're going to focus on praying and the study of the Word of God and ministering of the Word of God. And that was their way of serving. But here's Philip. Philip is busy serving and is raised up by God, and he goes and he begins to minister the Word of God. And not only does that happen, now God says to him, leave the revival that you just are having right now. Let the apostles come and continue with that. Now I want you to go over there And he heads them out into the wilderness, into a desert place. And while he's there, he sees a guy in a chariot, the Ethiopian eunuch. And the guy is busy reading, and he goes alongside of him and says, do you know what you're reading? Do you understand? What is he doing? Service. Do you understand what you're reading? The man says, I'm clueless. How can I know if nobody teaches me? So he spends time and he explains it all to him. And as they go in, the man sees water and says, is there any reason why I shouldn't be baptized? He says, no. So he baptizes him. As soon as he finishes baptizing him, what does God do? Elevate. Transportation. Peter did not experience this. The guy takes one step and it's another city. One step. Because when you are committed to serving and are not locked down to your stuff, it's my revival. I prayed for this revival and God did it. Hallelujah. I fasted. I'm not going to leave it for nobody. Look at you. You're just losing sight of what God has in store for you. The man left it alone and goes into a wilderness to meet one man. But that one man was going to affect an entire continent. Today, Africa is alive because of one man in obedience. So what I'm doing is not important. Excuse me? God is taking note of it. Hallelujah. God is taking note of everything. And it doesn't matter how educated or uneducated you are. When you serve, God can take you and put you on a high seat. And it doesn't matter who is out there. Everybody knows when you have been honored by the Lord. Capish? So, Joshua chapter 6. Yes, the doors were shut. But it took a people that were serving to see the walls collapse. Was it their shout? Maybe. Was it their obedience? Maybe. But ultimately, it was God. It's just God. And when we recognize that it is because of God that we are, because of God's hand on my life, that's why I am here, then it doesn't matter what anybody else says. It really doesn't matter anymore. Because I'm not looking at your face. I'm looking at his face, the author and the finisher of my faith. It is him. When Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. When Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. It is the yes of God that I want. And you know what? Are you ready for this? When he says yes, finally, it's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful healer. Thou good and faithful preacher. No? Come on. Why are you with me this morning? Servant? Wow. Incredible. So if that's the last word that you need to hear, thank you, Lord, for the blood. Hallelujah. But the blood was about service. The blood was about service. Let me say it again. The blood was about what? Service. And so ultimately, the people that are going to get in are people that have the same mind as he does. I did not come to do my will, he said. I came to do the Father's will. Is that what he said? Now, let me end with this. In John, he says, I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. Ooh, that's good. I call you friends. He says, if the servant doesn't know what the Father is doing, if the friend gets to know. He says, wait a minute, Lord. Wait a minute. I thought you revealed your secrets to your servants. Now you're telling us the servant doesn't know? The servant only knows what he's told to go do. But there is a place in God where God starts to say, my friend. Because my friend gets you into the category where you, are you ready for this? I don't know if you are. The place of friend with God brings you to the category where, because of you, blessing comes upon another. Abraham, a friend of God. And guess what? When God decides to bless us, he blesses us with the blessings of Abraham, his friend, who was first his servant. Another day we'll go there. Because ultimately, I don't just want to be a servant. I want to graduate to being a friend. The place of friendship is a place of rest. God worked and he rested. Oh, that's good. God is about to mobilize you to that place where you just rest in his goodness. Lord, I belong to you. I'm a son that serves, but I'm a son that's a friend. Let me wrap it up with this word. Your son is your child, but there comes a time when your child, your son, becomes your friend. And in that dimension of friendship, you get to talk. Deeper talk. I want to hear your ideas. What's your idea? What do you like? What do you think we should do about this? I'm not kidding. That God brings you to the place where he starts asking you, what do you think we should do? I don't only want to get there, I want to stay there. Amen? I had an experience with the Lord many years ago. And in this experience, I was talking to him about something, and he told me what he wanted to do. And I said, Lord, I hear you, but I don't think that's a very good idea. He said, I was bold. He said, so, okay, what is your idea? So I told God what my idea was. And to my surprise, he said, I think I like your idea. I said, what? What do you mean you like my idea more than your idea? He said, yes. I said, so why did you tell me that idea? He said, because I want you to know who you are. Wow. Experiences. Hallelujah. Rise with me. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the many blessings that you've bestowed upon our lives. We say yes and amen to your word. Yes and amen to your will. Yes and amen to your plans. And we thank you, Lord, O God, that no matter what strategies the enemy have employed, shutting doors, trying to bring about limitations, that you, O God, are not limitable. You are not limitable. They may come up with mandates to restrict your purpose, but Lord, O God, you are not limitable. You can do extraordinary things, do exceedingly far beyond anything we dare ask or think. And so therefore, this day, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we embrace all that you have. We receive of your fullness, and we say no to the devil and all his cohorts. We say no to the agenda of the enemy, for this day we declare by the authority of your word that your kingdom has come, and your will even now has been done in the earth as it is in heaven. You've raised us up, O God, as solutions, not problems. And Lord, O God, as solutions, O God, everywhere we go, things are corrected. For this day we declare order in our world, order in our homes, order in your church, order in our cities, order in our communities. We are declaring, O God, that your will be manifested, O God, for your purposes shall be made known to all men. Even as the waters cover the sea, so shall your spirit fill the hearts of men everywhere. You're not willing that anyone perish, but that all come to repentance. So, Lord, O God, we declare now, world, come in repentance before the Lord God Almighty. Come on bended knees, worshiping in spirit and in truth. Come hearing the word of the Lord. Let your eyes be opened so that you can see. In the name of Jesus, behold the glory of the Most High God. Behold the glory of the Most High God. Behold the glory of the Most High God. And be transformed by the renewing of your minds. In Jesus' name, we decree it so. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. Just come, release those gifts of faith that the Lord has given to you. Do business with our Father today. Hallelujah. Connect with your Heavenly Father. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Mama to come this time. We're going to share together in communion. Is everyone their communion elements? If you don't have it, just raise your hand and someone is going to come and serve you. Anyone? If you don't have your communion elements, raise your hand. Okay, looks like everyone has been covered. Thank God for that. After we share in communion together, I want you to be seated for a few minutes. We're going to show the announcement, and there's something else that I would like to say to you. Okay? Hallelujah. Father, we are thankful for the body and for the cup. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you instructed us. Whenever we take of this body and drink of this cup, that we should do it in remembrance of you. We all, O God, are members in particular. And as we share together today, let the blessings that you orchestrated and put in place for those that take of this body and cup be manifested in our lives for your glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Take off the body and eat.
Cup of blessing. Let's declare over our lives. Somebody say, I'm healed.
I'm healed.
I'm restored.
I'm restored.
I'm made whole.
I'm made whole.
I am healthy.
I am healthy.
I am wealthy.
I am wealthy.
I am in perfect peace.
I'm in perfect peace.
In Jesus' name, take
Jesus
and drink.
Name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You may be seated just briefly. We're going to have the announcement for the benefit of those that did not catch it at the beginning of the service. We'd like to have the announcements and then I'll talk to you about something.
carry all your blessings home, and may you not leak and come back greater than when you started today. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Remember, you are called to be a witness for the Lord. Be a true witness as you go into the rest of the world.
Blessings and shalom.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.